Okay, let me start again. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. If we want this abundance, this energy that comes out of us that's able to just keep continuing to serve the Lord, regardless of the circumstances and conditions we're going through, obviously, we're going to humble ourselves under God's mighty hand, because He says He gives grace to the humble. And that's what He's talking about here, this having this sufficiency in all things, no matter what the situation. God can give us the grace that we will have an abundance of something coming up out of us. Not only that, I mean, because we all won't have money to give. Maybe it's just time and energy. That doesn't mean He doesn't give us also resources to give. But this abundance He's given us really is a spiritual thing that comes out of the inside of us. And then, according to the resources we have, they just go off naturally anyway. But He's got to start with the inner nature, the heart. And that's where the abundance is talking about. So that in all things, then, no matter what the situation is, or where we are at in this world, that we can give of ourselves. Now down to verse 12. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. That's the whole purpose. That when the people of the world begin to see this service that comes out of God's children who are totally given up to grace and to the Spirit of life, that they will begin to see something that only God could produce. And then the world would begin, it says, through many thanksgiving to God. They begin giving thanks to God because of what we're doing in people's lives. While, through the proof of this ministry, they glorified God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and to your liberal sharing with them and all men, and by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for this, for His indescribable gift. So basically, this gift of this grace that He's talking about is an indescribable gift that changes our nature. We've got to get a whole different picture of what grace is, because we've really limited what grace is. We think it's just something, somehow God has just forgiven people for their sins. But grace, if it comes down into us and it's not being received in vain, enables us just to share our lives completely with all men, it says. And what he says back here in verse 13, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ. Now, we have to measure our confession. A lot of people are confessing Christ, but they spend their whole lives living for themselves. And that's diametrically opposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you want to come into the life that Jesus has offered us, this abundant provision of grace, this life that just has joy in all situations, you've got to realize that we've got to begin giving ourselves up for the good of the many. And like God counted Paul faithful, if He sees that we're faithful in the little things that we've been doing, He continues to pour grace. And it begins to change us, our nature, more and more and more. And this gets easier and easier and easier and more joyful. And, you know, the peace is in us ever greater. The love, joy, and peace that flows from the fruit of the Spirit is something that just builds as we respond to the little things. But yet we have to begin taking steps. See what I'm saying? When we have the little opportunity to help somebody, if we don't take that opportunity, well, God's just given you an opportunity. The grace has come, but you just received it in vain. You shut Him out. And at that point, so does the life-changing grace of God begin to, you know, wither up inside of you, because we haven't responded to the things that He's given us the opportunity to do. So what I'm saying is, the little things begin. He doesn't ask us to do a lot at first, and He'll lead you into this ever deeper. But you've got to be responding all the time to every opportunity you have to help. In the grace of God, he says, that this indescribable gift will begin to work in you. And it begins to change you. And pretty soon you're joyfully, just wholly sacrificing yourself for the good of the many, just like Jesus did. He's promised us to enable us to walk as he did. And what it does is it serves others in need. This service not only supplies the needs of the saints, which is really necessary, but it also overflows in this thanksgiving to God. And that's really the whole end product, is that God will get all the glory. Okay, Acts 4, 32 and 35. Okay, in Acts, we have a record of this early church. Now, we know that the early church, many of the people were filled with the Holy Spirit. So we have a record of what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, while we all have access to the fullness of the Holy Spirit, we got to remember that if it's truly filling us, it's putting the life of Jesus Christ in us. And what it's doing is giving us the nature that he had. And let's look at verse 32 here. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. That's exactly what Jesus promised. In John 17, 22, 23, he says he's praying that, he says, I've given them the glory that you gave me, Father. He's given us access to the same glory that Jesus had that enabled him to walk in a mortal body like he did, pouring out the love. He did that so that the love that the Father had toward Jesus, this is in verse 26 of John 17, that love may be in them, which is in us, and that he may be in us to reflect this oneness of nature with the Father, with his love. And that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. Well, as more and more of these people were becoming filled with the Holy Spirit, they became one in life and nature. And that's when they were truly filled with the Holy Spirit. And so we got to measure ourselves, the filling, and he says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a command that we're supposed to do. Now, there's many fillings, you can call it whatever you want, but if what I'm saying is, if this nature is not in you, then we still need to be filled. So you can look at it any way you want. But if you don't have this great desire to just empty your life out for the good of the many, which is what God refers to as this perfect love, and he says be perfect, and that what it is, it's perfected in this love, and it's all through the Bible about this being perfected, and it's in a love that no longer seeks for itself, but it only seeks for the good of the many. That's all he's asking us. That this love that gives us an undivided heart that just desires to give itself up for the good of the many, that is the love that we need. And that's what Jesus promised. And when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, that's what will be in us. So you can measure us. You can say you're filled with the Holy Spirit, but all I'm saying is if you're still self-seeking, I'm telling you there's a lot more of the Spirit to fill you, to be flowing out of you. And it comes from the grace of God again. It's nothing we can produce, but we can humble ourselves under it. This hand of God, yield to him, do the works that he's shown us to do, and as we do that, always fighting against the flesh. We'll have to fight against the flesh at first. I mean, when you go to the cross, I mean, the flesh wants to resist this living holy for the Lord. It wants to. We have to fight against the flesh. And if we don't, he says, make every effort to enter in. He says, many will strive and won't enter into this life. In this narrow door. I mean, they just won't, because the flesh, they'll give in to it, and they said, I just want to live for myself. I don't want to live for anybody else. And they just go back to living for self. And the flesh takes over again, and all they're doing is living for themselves. So what I'm saying is there's this pressing to enter into this narrow gate and entering into the abundant life that Jesus Christ has for us. And then it becomes very easy to live holy for other people. And that's what we need. And that's what happened to these people. I want to start again on verse 32. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of Jesus, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Basically, the resurrected Lord, he's raised again and comes to give us life. And so there was great power in this, in the way that everything was taking place with these people. And one of it was the next verse, and the great grace was upon them all. This great abundant provision of grace was upon them all that made them be wholly concerned about other people. I mean, they weren't thinking about themselves. They weren't worried about what I possessed or didn't possess. It was always looking about what other people, what their needs were. And that's what we've been seeing all night long. What does this grace do? That's what it comes in and does to us. It changes us. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked. For all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed them to each according to had need. And I'm not saying, I mean, this is just something the Lord leads to each one of us. But what I'm trying to point out, God gives us all resources, whether it's just in our ability to teach, maybe, or just in our ability to serve, washing dishes, whatever He gives us, we have got to pour that out into helping other people. That's got to be our whole focus of life, no longer living for ourselves. But whatever He's using us, or however He's using us, or however kind of resources He's given to us, if the grace of God is in us, it'll change our nature, and all we won't ever seem to have enough resources to do what we want to do for other people. He'll just keep putting us, we're going to find the need to give abundant, just like the Macedonian church. Yeah, even though you're just poverty poor, you'll have this great desire to be somehow reaching out and helping other people. And so the need will be, in your heart, will be greater than God always sometimes supplies. But you begin to pray, and I guarantee you, even then, He'll find ways, if He can find an instrument that can live that way, He'll find ways to provide you with the resources to give away so that you can then show others what this love of God is like, and then in turn, so that they will give glory to God. That's what the last scripture said. He changed these people so they live this way, so that God would get all the glory, that people would see this life and be drawn into it. But that's what the grace of God is supposed to do for us. Okay, let's go back to 2 Corinthians 6, verses 1 to 2. Okay, back he's trying to get these Corinthians straightened out. But he says, we then, as workers together with Him, with the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what we're supposed to be our whole life. We're workers together with Jesus Christ. It's His life that's coming through us. But he's also specifically now talking from Paul to the Corinthians, plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. See what I'm saying? That they were believers. I mean, there's a lot of believers out there, but they don't really understand the depth of what belief means. It means that we believe that God can fulfill all of His promises. It means that we believe that Christ can enable us to participate with Him in His divine nature, which very specifically is talked about in 2 Peter 1, 3, and 4. That He has the power to enable us to participate in this divine nature, this nature that just wants to give itself up for the good of the many. And if we believe that, if we truly believe God has the power to do that, and we truly believe that God wants us to walk that way, and we saw in the very first scriptures that this grace comes to purify for Himself a people of His very own that just want to give themselves up in service to the Lord, if we believe that, then we're going to begin to respond to it in faith. And we're going to know that I've got to change. I can't do it. I've got to humble myself under God's mighty hand, and I've got to yield to Him, and I've got to depend on Him, and I need this new nature. But we can resist grace, and we don't have to yield to it, and we don't have to humble ourselves, and we can just live for ourselves all the rest of our lives. We can be self-seekers, self-serving, and just worry about our own little things all of our life. And I tell you, we're in a country that's rich. I don't care, the poorest people here are rich. compared to what some of these first century people were in for. But yet, they found ways to just give everything they had and more. And all I'm saying is, this is the nature that Christ wants to put into us. So we really never have an excuse for not saying we can give. It's just that we want more and more things, and we take up all of our income serving ourselves, and we have nothing left. And then we say, well, we don't have anything to help serve. Well, we've got to begin examining ourselves why the grace of God hasn't put us this tremendous desire to want to just give itself up for the good of the many. That's what I'm saying, because the grace has been cut off. If we don't want to do that, we've got to yield. We've got to yield. We've got to yield. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today is the day he's come to save us from ourselves. Not just to get forgiven. Romans 5:10 talks about we receive reconciliation through the blood, but we receive salvation basically through the life of Jesus Christ. It's the life of Jesus Christ that saves us. And we've been called out to be servants and just to be vessels of Christ's life. And today is the day to be saved, to be give ourselves up wholly, to be vessels of this life that just empties itself out for the good of the many. But we've got to be very careful, because we cut off God's grace, we receive it in vain, and it truly hurts the cause of the Lord. Verses 11 and 12. He says, O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. These affections we have are for the world. And all I'm saying is, he's trying to show them that they've been, you know, you got to be careful that you don't cut yourself off from the grace of God. That they were believers, but their nature wasn't changing. They weren't emptying themselves out like the Macedonian church yet. And he's trying to show what the Macedonian church, this is what grace does. So if you're claiming to be under the grace of God, and you're not having this desire to empty yourself out, you got to be very careful, because you deceive yourself. And the heart is deceitful beyond all things. And we've got to be so careful about that. And that's why we have to warn. Because the very last thing in the Corinthian letter, Paul says to examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. You know, examine yourself. Is this life of Christ that Christ was like, is it in you? Is it even beginning to come out of you? Does it have any desire? Is there any desire coming out of you to be able to serve other people? Examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. Because grace comes by faith. And the grace would cause you to want to empty yourself out. That's what he's saying. So examine to see if you're in the faith, because if you're in the faith, if you're truly responding by faith, the grace would come out of you and it would want to pour itself out. This life of Jesus would begin to come out of you. And we have to respond. We have to give ourselves up to it. Okay, go to 1 Peter 5 and 6. Actually, it starts off, he says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. I mean, that's absolutely critical for the Christian faith. We just be humble and meek. Be submissive to each other. The true Christian faith, we have no rights of our own. As soon as we start having rights, all of our turmoil comes from within us. As soon as I got a right, because somebody crosses my right, and I get angry. If you had no rights, like Jesus didn't have any, gave up all of his rights to be a servant to all, there's nothing you can do to a person like that. There's no way to reach him and get him. But as soon as we have rights, all the wars of this world, all the strife between families and everything comes from people crossing our rights. And Christians have been called to die to self, take up the cross. And if you've really taken up the cross, Where does your rights come from? That cross represents the end of your old life. That represented the end of all your rights. So if you've given that up, you wouldn't have rights to be crossed. Anyway, so it's basically a life of humility and submitting to each other. God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Just trust Him. That's what He's asking. Cast it all on Him. Just that's what faith's all about. But we have to begin giving ourselves up. And we're saying, no, I've got to protect myself. The world teaches me, the spirit of the world has told me that I've got to care for myself. If I don't care for myself, who's going to care for myself? And so, if I give away my things, I've got to take care of myself. No, it's exactly the opposite. We've got to believe that the Lord can take care of everything according to His desires. And the more we give, He's talking about, He's given us this measure that's shaken down, shaken up and it's pressed down, but then it's an overflowing. So no matter how much you give, if He can find a giver, if He can find somebody with the love of God that He can pour that through, all I'm saying is He'll provide the supplies. I'm not saying it's in money. All I'm saying is it's an abundant provision of life that it's able to pour out into other people. The ability to love, the ability just to pour yourselves out. And He'll give you that ability. Okay, the last scripture. But it just comes back to we've got to humble ourselves. And in due time, He says He'll exalt us. He'll lift us up. He'll get us out of the bondage of this self-seeking nature. There comes a day when He gives us victory over the fleshlight. That we don't want to be self-seeking anymore. We don't want to be out serving ourselves anymore. There's no more striving. Your desire is to serve and to serve and to serve, and that's the life of Jesus Christ coming into you, and that's what's being filled. That's what means being filled with the Spirit is. That's what happened at the day back in Acts 4:32, that they just had no problem. They did it joyously, giving themselves up. So that's what we need. Okay, the last scripture is 2 Thessalonians 1:11-12. Verse 11, therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling. That's what we've been talking about all night. That He would count us worthy of this calling of giving ourselves up for the good of the many. That He could just pour His love through us and fulfill all the good pleasures of His goodness and the work of faith with power. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. And you in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, it comes back to grace. And Paul, we have to pray that God would count us worthy of this calling. Remember when we first started tonight, that God counted Paul faithful? And then because He counted him faithful, in the little things, I guess, at some point, Paul grew. I mean, he really wasn't in the ministry per se, called out and sent really on his ministry till about 12 years after his experience with the Lord. All I'm saying is the Lord does prepare us. He builds us. But we have to respond to the little things. We have to... If He puts somebody across your path to help, we got to do it. We can't turn from it. Whatever we can do, we got to help. And we just have to trust to Him to work out all the details. But He does. He count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasures of His goodness. See, it's His goodness. There's nobody good but God. When the rich young ruler came up to Jesus and says, what is it, good master, whatever he said. Why do you call me good? There's nobody good but God, basically. Well, Jesus was filled with the Spirit of life that comes from God. He'd given up his own glory, but it was in there and people saw him. But he still says, it doesn't come from me now because I'm living through the power of the Holy Spirit through the Father. He says the goodness comes from heaven. All goodness. There's nothing in this world by itself that is good. It has to flow out of heaven. So this goodness that he's talking about, that the rich young ruler saw in Jesus, he wants that goodness to be seen through us. But that goodness doesn't come from us. It comes from this abundant provision of grace. So he fulfills all the good pleasures of his good pleasures and his goodness. He fulfills them through us. So he has this life of love and this life of joy and this life of peace and this life that just wants to just pour itself out and reach another people. And so he fulfills all those things through us. We're supposed to be the vessels of the life of God here in this world so that people can understand what God is like. Unless, of course, the grace of God comes in vain, and then he's not able to accomplish what he planned to do. So all I'm saying is, if we all would truly humble ourselves under God's mighty hand, take up the cross like we've been commanded to do, if we want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, be willing to die to the old self-life, be recognizing that it's going to be a painful process of going through the cross and dying to self, that we're going to have to fight against the flesh a little bit during this process. There's going to be some suffering of the soul before we see the light of life, that true light, that true lifting up, that true joy all the time. That we have to go through that process, but just don't give in to the flesh. I mean, that's what he's talking about in Hebrews, where, you know, you haven't basically resisted the point of shedding blood yet, so don't, you know, be discouraged yet. Jesus did that. So resist whatever you have to do, but resist letting that flesh life just have its way, however it wants to go. Resist that, and God will count you faithful. You resist, I guarantee you, God will count you faithful. And this abundant provision of grace will continue to come into you and lift you up. And it will. And it'll take you out of all this, that nature that just wants to serve itself. He can cleanse us from that. That's what he's called us to do. To give ourselves up to him. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. I've given them the glory. Or given them access to the glory anyway. He's given us all access to the glory that the Father gave him. That's so that the Lord Jesus Christ can be glorified. And what does it mean to bring glory to somebody? It simply means to show forth their image. We bring glory to ourselves by showing forth this image we build up of ourselves. We all try to build this image up, so we bring glory to ourselves by showing forth some image we've made up. But we've been created to bring glory to God. That means we've been created to bring, show forth His image, His spiritual life, His spiritual nature. Now, obviously, you can't do that. Only the grace of God can do that through us. And that's what we've been looking at all night long, that the grace of God has come to enable us to be glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring forth the life and the nature of Jesus Christ in this world. He says, if you follow me, he said, I am the light of the world. And if whoever follows me will walk in that same light of life. That's a promise that he can be glorified in us. And that we'll bring glory to Him by yielding to Him. Any questions?